Hey everyone, it's Caddy. It is the April Cafe, and April always brings my favorite drummer in the world, Mr. Roger Taylor, straight from confinement. Woo!
Hello.
Hi, Rog. How are you?
Hiya. For an introduction, eh?
Hey, well, it's all true. It's all true.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
So I know we're speaking. You're sheltering in place at home with your family.
I certainly am. Yeah. We're going into our fourth week of lock. I guess they call it lockdown, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lockdown here. I think in the US it's sheltering in place.
Yes. It? Yes, it
That's
is.
A little bit more dramatic. Yeah.
Yeah. And
shelter in place.
Like all good Americans should, you know, with a flair for dramatic.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's going okay. Yeah, we're just going into our fourth week, and we're kind of getting used to it. It's difficult. I mean, it's really difficult to hear about all the casualties and the deaths and whatever. But it certainly gives you time to reflect a bit more, I think. It slows life down. We've spent a lot more time with Julian. You know, we're involved in his schoolwork. I've managed to sort out all my drawers and my cupboards and my clothes and stuff that I have not done for years. So there's been some positives. It's not as bad as I thought it might be, actually.
And the weather's been nice where you live.
The weather's been absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
And you guys you get to go outside and go for walks and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, we're very fortunate with that. You know, there are countries that don't have that option. To go and exercise and walk, which is very important for me. I love exercise, so I go a lot and on my bike, and I don't do too much running these days, but plenty walking, and that kind of keeps us sane.
Yeah, I have this little bike from kind of when I was a kid, a banana seat bike, and I trotted it out recently, and I also had knee surgery last year, so I thought, oh, that's okay. I would say by like the sixth minute, I thought I was going to die. So
okay.
I need.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
luckily, I've always been quite a keen cyclist, so I'm kind of. But I've seen quite a few people out there that look as though they've not been on a bike
that's
for a long
me.
Time.
I mean, I had to get off and walk. I had to walk
I've seen
up the hill.
A few of those.
Yeah. My bike.
And then you get the runners as well. But there's quite a few people out there that I don't think have ever jogged before.
Yeah, and there they
you're
are.
Kind of walking down the street, and they you hear them coming down the street. so there's a few of those as well.
Yeah, but good to anybody who tries, right? I mean, that's more than I
Yeah, everybody's
do.
Giving it a go, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
I think we're going to go back fitter with all the walking and jogging and cycling or whatever. I think we're going to be a fitter world.
Maybe. So, Rod, so of course we're here in April for your birthday. Like my son Tanner, you are going to have a confinement birthday, and hopefully you'll still get lots of love via FaceTime and Zoom and all that kind of stuff. But do you have any big plans for your birthday or not really? Not this year.
I don't think so. I was going to have a pretty quiet one anyway. We were meant to be away from home. Actually, on my birthday, we were going to be in LA doing some mixing and stuff. So I was going to be away from home anyway, so I wasn't really going to make a too big a deal of it. And certainly now in this climate that we're in, you have to just kind of let it go a little bit, I think. And, it's going to go by quietly. Maybe when everything's over and done with it, I'll celebrate it properly.
Okay. And you should, right? You know, because it'll be a rebirth, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, I was just starting to think about it just as all this happened, which is called, you know, it's just kind of knocked all of our plans out of the water, I think. I mean, there's an old saying, isn't it, that says if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
You know
that we had shows lined up this year. We were just coming up to the completion of the record. It's our 40th anniversary. It was going to be a huge year for us, and we've had to just put all that pretty well on hold. And I guess next year is going to be the big year, unless everything starts to open up later in the year.
Yeah.
Which I'm not quite sure. I don't know, when are you going to be able to go to a gig again? I don't know how long it's going to take for this thing to blow over, to get to the point where 10,000 people are going to want to stand together again. I don't know how long it's going to take to get to that. So it's a tough time, actually, for musicians, artists, people involved in the concert industry. It's a really, it's a tough time for them.
Yeah, and sports, too. I mean, same sort of thing. Certainly indoor sports like hockey and basketball. And
yep.
I don't know what you guys have indoor. Yeah.
Yeah. Any kind of sport has been hit as well.
At least in America, I read that they were that L.A. and New York would probably not have big sporting or concert events until 2021, but other states might, make a different decision.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Well, it'll be a year we don't forget, right?
It certainly will.
So I appreciate that you took time out of your maybe weirdly busy day to join us in the cafe. And what we did this time is we only took questions from the fan community members, which was really nice just to hear from them. So I'm going to read all of them. Some of them were doubles. So if we got doubles, we are not, I was able to weed through. But I think we have time to get to all of them. So the first one, the first one is from a fan community member called Debbie. And she says, if you could pick any band, past or present, that you could drum for, who would you choose and why? Hope you and your family are staying healthy and safe. Debbie.
Oh, that's a great, great question. Oh, wow. Well, it's not a band. I would probably have loved to be able to play with Bowie.
Mm.
And of course, we discussed Bowie recently because he was my idol, and I met him, and I was very starstruck by him. And, I wouldn't have been playing unless it was for Bowie. He was such a formative part of my growing up. But if I'd have ever have got to play with him, that would have just been, incredible. That's probably the one. And I think Roxy Music as well. I grew up on Roxy Music. I always loved the players that played with Brian Ferry. So I think playing with Roxy Music would have been the other one.
That's great. I didn't know that.
The great Paul Thompson.
Oh, yeah, Paul Thompson. He's their drummer, right?
Andy Newmark as well was the guy that played on all the smoother kind of stuff like Avalon, who was also an amazing drummer. So Brian always picked great drummers, and I thought if I'd have played a part in that, that would have been something incredible.
Hmm. So, Rod, didn't know that about you. James wants to know, what's the most challenging song that you have ever recorded?
I don't know. One song that's been most challenging.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of do-overs or something?
I think Rio was probably, the whole album was probably a very challenging record to make because we were making a lot of that stuff as we went along and trying to learn arrangements as we're putting the songs down. So I do recall that being quite a challenging period. Some of the songs were written very well before we went in to record that, but some of them particularly the drum and bass arrangements were being written as we played them. So I remember that being quite a challenging record to make.
Hmm. Very interesting. So you were going to pick Seven and the Ragged Tiger for some reason.
Well, that was challenging in its own way. That took a long time to make that record.
Mm.
And we were struggling a little bit to find our direction, I think, with that record. After the first album was successful, the second one was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to make the third album, which there's a lot more pressure around, and it was time to go in a different direction. So that was pretty, I wouldn't say difficult, but it was a challenging record to make.
Right, in a different way. Not.
In a different way, exactly.
Yeah. Here's a good question. Hi, Roger. Sometimes hearing songs for the first time takes me back to when I first enjoyed them and floods my mind with warm memories. What if anything, have you rediscovered or discovered during this historical time that distracts you and brings you great joy? Please be well and take care of yourself, Bradley.
Are we talking music or?
I guess anything. He's saying for him it's Duran. Well, he's saying that it's Duran Duran music, like takes him back and fills
right,
him
okay.
with these warm memories. But what is it for you that you've rediscovered?
Oh, actually, yeah, we just bought a dog, which has been a huge distraction. I've not had a dog for 20 years. So it's been really nice to have a dog around. It's a beautiful little dog. It's a cross between a Maltese and a Shih Tzu, and it's called a Malshi. So that's been a really nice distraction.
That's lovely. Did a lot of your like past dog training come back to you, or no? You had to like check the internet on stuff to do again.
It does. I think it comes. I grew up with a couple of dogs. We were never without a dog in our house when I was growing up. And my mum was quite into training dogs, and she used to show dogs and all that.
Oh,
stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's kind of it's ingrained in there a little bit. So we're just doing the toilet training.
Yeah.
But she's doing really, really well, I have to say. She's doing really well. It's like 3 days. And she seems to have it.
Yeah, that's
pretty good.
Yeah, I think that it's like the 1 or 2% of dogs that just don't get it. Because I was surprised. We got a dog, as you know, because I inundate you with pictures. We got a dog in September, and I was surprised how quickly he got it. I think they don't really want to make. They don't want to make a mess.
They don't want to make a mess. Do they?
Yeah, they want to do the right thing.
Exactly.
So that's super cute. So, Raj, I'm expecting
more. They're cleverer than you think, aren't they, Bill? Because they're so clever. I mean,
yeah. So cute. My dog's not so clever. God bless him. He's a little on the dim side, my baby, too. He is. He's so cute. He's a little dumb. Anyway, enough of that. Natalie says, hi, Roger. Was a Kennedy Space Center show filmed? If so, are there any plans to release it? Thanks a lot. Stay safe, Natalie.
Hey, Natalie. Yeah, it was filmed, and I believe it is going to be released in some format. I've not really heard a lot recently about it, but I know that it was definitely filmed by Gavin, the great Gavin. So it is in the can, and I guess it's just a matter of time before it's released.
Yeah, that would be nice. That was something. Moving on. My question is, this is a hard one, Rod. My question is there an expected release date now for the new album? I'm so excited. I know. I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear it like so many others. I hope you and the guys and your families are doing well. Thank you, Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy. Yeah, we're all doing really well. Wow, that's a tough question now, isn't it? I mean, everything is just up in the air. but I think we're very, very close to finishing the record, and quite a lot of it is ready for mixing. So I think we're going to slowly start to make that happen now. So I guess we'll definitely get it finished and mixed this year, towards the end of the summer, I would hope. I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that yet, but I would guess it will be late this year or early next year. No.
Yeah. It's Duran time. I remember that you and Nick both swore it would be out in 2020, but then, like you said...
Exactly,
but
we've had this strange event.
Something happened, yes.
I think somebody was thinking, no, they've been too quick with this record. They've been too quick. What? 2020 release? Oh, no, we'll have to put a change to that.
Yes.
And the world has changed around us, unfortunately.
Yep.
I was hoping this year. Yeah, the Duran gods were laughing at our plans.
Yes.
So I think later this year or early next year, I would hope. I mean, there are people releasing records, aren't there?
They are.
In this period of time, it must be a very strange time to release a record because you can't gig around it. You can't get out there to do any promotion. So it must be a really tough time to release a record.
I think it is. But also, I think so many people are dying to talk to everyone because they need to sustain their shows. It's also maybe an easy time to do promotion. It was funny because, and you probably have this too, the movie Trolls World Tour came out last Friday. It's the first movie that was meant to come out like April, whatever that was, 6th, in theaters, but instead it came out online. You could watch it with Julian if you want. It was like $20 to rent it for 2 days or something. It wasn't that good, but lots of music. So I think you guys would like it. But Justin did loads of press. I mean, he was everywhere. He was on every show. So
I guess I'm being very old school here.
I don't know if he liked it.
I'm being very old school.
I don't know if he liked doing press that way.
They do everything on social media, and they do Zoom, and they do... what's the latest thing they do? TikTok.
Yep. All that
so
stuff.
So maybe it's not such a big issue. Maybe it's not as big an issue as...
I don't know. It might be a cool thing to do. Let's put it in the back of the mind, is all I'm saying.
Okay. Maybe. Let's see what happens.
So April wants to know. April is asking a question in the April Cafe. Hi, April. What is your favorite drum groove that you've ever written?
My favorite groove? I do have a definite one of these, actually, and I think it's... I always think I can't just say a drum groove because it's all about the bass, what JT's doing on the bass, or, you know, whatever the good guitar part is doing, or whatever Nick is doing. And, of course, our beloved Simon is doing out front because everything makes the whole groove. I never think of myself as just being a great groove and it's just all about me. I think it's the way everything works together. And one of our more recent songs I would think of is Pressure Off. The whole song just kind of grooves, and it's such a great song to play live. On the last tour, every time that song came up, I always looked forward to it because it was such a had such a great groove to it, so it would be Pressure Off for me.
Oh, how cute are you, Rod?
Have to think of the whole.
Yeah, you're such a nice person. my question for Roger is, which set of drums does he enjoy playing the most? The original set he bought and used for his trial for the band, or his newest kit with all electronic sounds?
With all the traps and
that's
a really good question.
It is. It's a little hypothetical and a little cool.
I loved my first Tama drum kit when we were still rehearsing at the Rum Runner. And our managers at the time, Paul and Michael, came in one day, and you know, we had a really scruffy set of equipment, and I had a drum kit that I'd saved up for months to buy, and Nick had got one keyboard, and you know, John had got a really cheap bass, and they came in and said, okay, guys, you can go down to Woodruff's, which was a big music store in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just go in there and choose what you want. You know, we need to get you playing on the best gear that we can get you on. So that it was like a dream come true as a 19-year-old to go into this music store that you've had your nose pressed against the window for the last 10 years looking at the beautiful equipment in there. And
mm-hmm.
I would just go in there and pick out what you want. So I went in there, and my favorite drummer at the time was Steve Jansen, who played for Japan, and he had a Tama drum kit. So I said,
mm-hmm.
that's the drum kit I'm going to get. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to get the closest drum kit you can get to what Steve Jansen has. So I bought this lovely Tama drum kit with the two little toms at the top, like small Compton toms. I bought a set of Pace cymbals, which were like so expensive at the time. And I loved that drum kit. It was my favorite drum kit that I ever owned. And still to this day, I think back to that kit as being my favorite one. And that went through all the first songs that we recorded. And I eventually got a sponsorship with Tama. So they started kind of chucking all the loads of different drum kits at me. So I kind of got lost in all the drum kits that I was given over the next
mm-hmm.
few years. But that first one was really special.
That's such a nice story.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I love my kit now, though, as well. I love the setup on the Paper Gods tour because it was a real hybrid of electronic and two-stick, and it was real good fun to play.
That's a great story. That's so nice. Hi, Raj. How are you? My question for you is there any song on the upcoming album that you're most excited about? And can you share one song title with us? Virtual hugs from Buenos Aires.
Ooh.
From Fabiana.
We're not quite at the point. There are a couple of songs that I'm particularly really excited about. Which have amazing grooves, you know, great bass, great guitar playing, wonderful synth parts, great vocals, great harmonies. But we're not really at the point where we've named each song, to be honest with you. That comes very, very late with us. And we're not quite there with song titles, really, that I can share with you. But there are a lot of things I'm really, really excited about.
Okay. I didn't know you tend to pick titles of albums last, so it doesn't surprise me that you would work on song titles too. Is that like a group thing, or is it like because Simon wrote it, he usually picks the song titles?
We throw it around, to be honest with you. Obviously, usually it's something that comes from the lyric.
Mm-hmm.
And someone will probably suggest something, and then we'll say, "Oh, we're not quite sure about that." So it's a real group decision, the song titles. So it takes a while, as you can imagine.
That's great. Hello, Roger. John recently mentioned in an interview that playing in Lake Tahoe was beyond anyone's expectation. I was wondering what feelings and emotions you had performing at that outdoor venue for the first time, Alejandra.
Oh, that was incredible. And I will never forget the, because we took a little aeroplane. I can't remember where we were coming from. But we flew in over the lake, and it was absolutely beautiful as we flew in. And I'd heard people talk about Lake Tahoe a lot, and I used to think, well, how great can a lake be? You know, a lake's a lake. And, you know, as we flew in, the color of the water was absolutely beautiful. You could see through down into the bottom of the lake.
Oh, wow.
And so beautiful. And the venue as well, we expected, you know, it was part of a casino. We weren't quite sure what the venue was going to be like. But it was a really beautiful venue, and it was packed, and it was outdoors, and it was a beautiful really beautiful night. So it was, that was definitely one of the more memorable nights of the last tour.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll get back there. You have lots of fans there. I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there an album or a song that was recorded while you were out of the band that you would have loved to have played on from D? I know. I think I know the answer.
I think you probably do know the answer to this.
I do.
I think you do.
I do. But I'll let you tell everyone.
But I thought, you know what, I enjoyed all the albums, actually, that I wasn't part of, because I still kept a very close ear out for what the guys were doing. And, you know, I loved all the Notorious period work. I loved all that. But it has to be the Wedding album, I think. That was the, I think that was the peak album of the reduced capacity, or the time where there were less original members. I wouldn't call it less peak capacity. I would just say it was a different period of the band.
Yeah.
And I would say, God, I'm tying myself in knots, trying to be politically correct here. but yeah, it has to be the Wedding. I think that was the a really wonderful album.
Yeah, it was a pinnacle of sorts. I agree with you. I knew that's what you were going to say.
What did you say, the pinnacle of?
And that was the pinnacle of that foursome, those
yeah,
four
exactly.
guys making music together,
yeah,
for me,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the pinnacle of that foursome, yeah.
That was there. I thought that was, for me, that was the best album those four made together.
Yeah.
Hello, Roger from Tel Aviv. Is there anything on your bucket list of something in general that got priority in light of recent world events? Did I read that wrong? Is there anything on your bucket list or something in general that got priority in light of recent world events? Thanks for taking our questions. Lots of love, Serena. So I guess So I guess you wanted to know if anything moved up on your bucket list in light of what's happening in the world.
Well, I think, I mean, it's become such a big bucket list now, I think. I think I'm going to be so much more appreciative of freedom and getting out there. And I think, you know, touring again has become a big bucket list, because we don't know how long it is before we can get out there and play again. So, you know, that's certainly number one for me, is to be able to get there. Out there and play again and do shows and tours. And I think you kind of start to take that for granted a little bit, and you assume that the world is going to be open to you, and there's always going to be an audience for you, and you can travel. And so I think just to be able to get back on tour is really kind of coming to focus for me. Especially with new material coming up from the new record, it's going to be really... Once the world opens up, it's going to be such an, you know, such an exciting period. It's going to be almost like everybody has some kind of rebirth, you know.
Yeah,
and I think
starting
life
over
is going
again.
To be starting over again, and I think there's going to be so much more appreciation for the world, and I think it can actually put us back in a better place than we were before, hopefully.
Yeah. So you're excited to play new material, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Especially now that it's kind of been kind of put on ice for a while.
Yeah.
It makes the profile even more more exciting.
Unbelievable. Just crazy. It's just crazy. Rob, how are you keeping busy during this period? Are you? Are there any messages you're getting from Adrian?
Sorry, you were cutting out there?
Oh, sorry. So Adrian wants to know how you're keeping busy in lockdown, and if there's any must listen or must reads you've discovered, like any books or albums that are really getting you through this time.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? It's really difficult. There's so much you can do to keep yourself busy. And I think we found that we're really, our world has slowed down, and we have to kind of accept that everything happens slower now.
Mm.
You go out to get some grocery, it used to take you 10 minutes. Now you've got to go in standing line for an hour. You know,
right.
So there's an hour that just goes with your shopping. You want to go to the pharmacy. Everything's just become so much slower in life. And I've just kept myself busy. I think, as I said to you as we came onto the call earlier, Kelly, just doing all those things that I've been putting off for years, like clearing out closets and clearing out my clothes and clearing out the bookshelves. But I'm coming kind of near to the end of that now. There's not much more that I can. Every drawer has been cleared out. We call it the man drawer. It's just drawers that are.
Have your stuff in it?
Yeah, stuff.
Yeah.
We've been doing all that. We've been helping Julian with his schoolwork. You know, that's another part of it that takes quite a long time. But that's it, really. And going for walks, keeping fit, cycling, and just trying to appreciate the moment and appreciate nature a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's been a big thing for me. You know, the city is quieter, the roads are quieter, the trees look greener. So that's one of the positive things that I've tried to embrace. And I've just finished reading the Elton John book, the autobiography, which was great reading. As you know, I'm a great lover. I must have like 1,000 biographies on my bookshelf.
Mm.
And the next one I'm doing, having many recently, was it's the Billy Idol biography.
Oh, wow.
My son bought for me about 3 years ago as a Christmas present. And I thought, actually, I'm going to read that because I've met him recently. He was a big idol of mine. So I've just started that one.
That's cool. I should do that.
Yeah, cool book.
I don't read enough. I need to read more. I'm in a book club, so I read my book club books. But otherwise, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go read a biography.
Okay. Because
you said, Rod.
So get your drawers cleared out.
Yeah.
Read a book.
Read a book. Clean the closet.
Fine. Yeah, clean your closet.
Michelle says, hi, Roger. You were my first crush, and I wanted to know what song you feel has your best drumming on it.
Which song has my best drumming on it?
Yeah.
Wow. I think we had a very similar question, didn't we, on the Twitter thing we did the other day?
Yeah, possibly.
And I think I said Wild Boys because it's the most recognizable drum track that I think I ever played. Because as soon as you hear it come on, before you can even really hear the music, you hear the drum part and you recognize the song. And that's very important for me individually, is to have drum parts that have hooks that, you know, you are very recognizable, are very different from, you know, other people's parts that are instantly recognizable. So I think Wild Boys would be number one in that respect.
Very good. Hello, Roger. I'm curious to know if anyone or anything has personally influenced your sound or playing so far on this new record. Do you still find influences? Thank you. I hope you're well. Love, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany. I wonder which Brittany it is. Wow, that's an interesting question. I just think I've been influenced by so many people over the years. I think when you've been around the music business for so long, I think you develop a bank of influences for every show that you go to, every record that you hear, every person you work with, everyone, you know, other players that you've been around, kind of goes into a bit of a memory bank. So I find that I'm constantly pulling from that bank of influences. And I think a lot of it's kind of subconscious. Like sometimes I'll be playing and I'll play something that's out of the Paul Thompson bank of playing that we talked about earlier, that played for Roxy Music. Or Tony Thompson, you know, I find that I sometimes I will play a film that's out of Tony Thompson's work. So it's all kind of in there, I think. Even Ringo Starr might be in there somewhere from when I listened as a child. So I think that's how a musician's minds work. I think we absorb lots of different influences and people's playing, and it kind of stays there in the back of your mind somewhere. And when it's needed, you just kind of pull it out, and it comes into a song that you're playing now. That's probably how best I would describe it. I don't go into the studio thinking today is the day I'm going to be influenced by Charlie Watts or whoever. I think it's just in there as a it's kind of a little bank in the back of the mind somewhere that collects up all this data from different things we hear. I mean, some people actually write songs that are identical to other people's songs, and they didn't even know that they copied the song. You know, it could have been a song that they were in the back of their parents' car 20 years ago that they heard that went into their music bank in their mind, and it just came out when they're writing a new song. And I've heard people describe that before, and I think that's how it is.
That's a great answer, Rod. Never would have guessed
that. It's a bit long, wouldn't it? It's a bit long for me, but
I think that's terrific. Roger, my question is, do you know when, well, we sort of actually, I think we sort of answered this, but I'll ask it anyway, Katie. I don't want to take away a question from you. But my question, Katie's question is, do you know when we will be able to hear a little bit of new music? Even just a snippet would be great. Always a Durani, Katie.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. You know, we're not finished mixing yet. I think, as I said earlier, we're going to try and progress towards mixing material towards the end of the summer now. So maybe I would hope by the end of the summer that we can hear some snippets of stuff.
I'll take that answer. Hi, Roger. I hope you're doing well and keeping yourself busy. You've traveled to so many places with the band. Which has been your favorite so far? And two people asked that question, Kathy Diaz and Laura Tidwell. Both asked what your favorite places were to travel.
I mean, I love coming to America. That's always an incredible experience for us. Australia. Oh, man, I've got some great memories of every time we've been to Australia. It's been something really special. And I think when you travel so far away and you find a culture that's not so dissimilar to your own and a great love of the band on the other side of, you know, which is literally the side of the planet for us, is always amazing. So many great, wonderful places we've been to. Japan, we've always had incredible trips to Japan. Italy, we've had some absolutely wonderful and most beautiful tours in Italy. I mean, I can't wait for that to open up again so we can get back to Italy again. I know they've had so many issues down there with the coronavirus. You know, which makes it all the more sad that, you know, we've not been there for a while. So I really look forward to getting back to Italy again. But, I mean, so many places, it's hard to really put your finger on one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but you're lucky you got to do so much traveling, right?
Yes. I mean, we're lucky that when the band broke in the early days, it wasn't just on a local level. For so many bands that just broke in the UK, or they broke in the UK and Europe. But thankfully, we broke worldwide, which just opened up the whole world for us. You know, we have to be really grateful for that.
I don't know that those things could happen again like it did for you guys. I don't know that that happens anymore for new bands, but maybe the internet makes it easier to reach more people. But it's
probably one or two. I think Coldplay has had a very long
I agree.
They've kind of cracked it pretty well. And one of the few, I think, that have come along and really cracked it worldwide. It's hard to name many, isn't it? Yeah, it's hard
it
to. name truly international artists.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Tawny says, I'd like to know Roger's current dreams. Is there anything that you want for the future now that this is all transpired? Has it sort of changed your thoughts? Thank you and stay safe and healthy. See you on tour, Tawny.
What's my dream for the future right
yeah,
now?
Your current dreams and goals.
My number one dream would be for the current situation we're in to evolve some way towards a life where we can live a little bit more, you know, normally in the way that we lived before, then the way we can mix, is the way we were free to mix and to travel.
Yeah.
I'd love that to happen. My dream would be for the, you know, the amount of people getting ill to, you know, to become less. I'd like less people to be in hospital. I'd love a vaccine to be, hopefully be found for the, what we currently have, and I think it's just to get back to the world as we knew it, you know, and maybe in a better way.
Right.
Maybe in a world that will appreciate the environment more, will appreciate personal space a little bit more, and understand, you know, that we maybe have to live a little bit in a bit more of a different way. But I think a dream of normality is the dream of the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good way of putting it, actually.
Which is a strange dream, isn't it? It's strange to be dreaming of normality. Usually we dream of crazy things that we probably don't expect to happen. But, yeah, a dream of normality is, I think, where most people are right now.
I agree. That's a good dream. Wendy sent in the question and said, you have said in interviews that you played along to songs to practice when you were just starting out, and I'm just starting out as a drummer. I really love it. I don't know all the correct terms or counting techniques, but what were some of your favorite songs to play along with as a new drummer? Would you suggest any? And any words
when
of encouragement? Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I used to play along to the radio.
Ah.
You know, you put on the radio, songs used to come on, and I would just play along with whatever was on the radio. I can't even remember what I started playing along to. Probably Bowie records. When I got a bit older, I'd buy Bowie records, and I'd play along to David Live or Stage. Roxy Music records I'd play along to. There was a period where I got more into progressive rock, so I'd play along to Deep Purple or Yes or whatever I could get my hands on, really, and anything that had really great drumming on it. But the other thing I was quite influenced by when I was young was Tamla Motown, because my parents used to play a lot of Tamla Motown in the house. They used to love all the stuff coming out of Tamla Motown. So that was always in the background of the house. So, you know, I'll be playing along to that as well a little bit.
Motown?
Motown.
Detroit? Oh,
wow. Yeah, yeah, Detroit Motown. Yeah, my family were really into that music. So that was very much part of my growing up. And I was on the Paper Gods tour. I got picked up from the hotel in Miami by a black dude that was really into music, and we started chatting, and he said, so what do you do? And I said, yeah, I'm a drummer. He said, oh, right, yeah, a drummer. Yeah, which, what band do you play with? I said, oh, I'll play with Duran Duran. He said, oh, man, I love Duran Duran. So you know why I love Duran Duran? Because I can hear Motown in that sound. I can hear Motown in the drumming.
Oh wow,
he just joined two pieces of my life together right there, from listening to Tamla Motown and playing along with my parents' records in my house, to being in a cab in Miami with the driver saying he can hear Motown in the driving.
That's amazing. Feel great, huh?
Yeah, but I never really thought about that before. I'd never really thought about the Motown influence, but parts of songs like The End of Rio, where it goes into that kind of real Stax beat towards the end, and Is There Something I Should Know, I think has some Motown style drums in it. And again, going to that thing I was talking about earlier, where you absorb music and then it just comes out of you in some way.
Right.
That certainly happened with Motown. It became part of my playing without even realizing it, that it was just played so much in my house that I just picked up on the way those songs played. Which was a very simple style. It was the first kind of backbeat drumming. It was groove orientated, and that definitely became part of my style. So thanks, Mom and Dad.
Nice. I love that. I love that. We have two more questions, Raj. Jason says, back in the 80s, your drum sound was considered by many to be the new technique and style to follow and learn. Can you please tell us if you were working on any new types of equipment or drum kits with its own new sound that we will hear on the new album? With all the new technologies and synthesizers, do you use any of that to create something new and fresh? Love your work. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, that's a good question. Funny enough, most of this record is very organic drum sounds, because when Errol Alkin came in, he said he didn't really want to use electronically generated drums, because we'd done that quite a lot on the last record. And Errol's quite a big fan of the more organic sounding early records, much in the way that Mark Ronson was when we made All You Need Is Now. Errol came in and said he really wanted to capture that real, you know, a proper drum sound, a proper acoustic drum sound. So we spent a lot of time working on the sound of the drums, making sure the room sound was right. And so you had that real, that very pure sounding drum kit, which forms a lot of the backbone of this album. So we've almost gone backwards to go forwards in a way, going back to the more original organic drum sounds. So there's some electronic drums on this record, but far less than the last one.
I can't wait to hear. I haven't heard one thing.
You've not heard one thing? No, it's a great album.
I can't wait. So our last question is from Donna Forms, is her name, and she has a question on behalf of her daughter and you, and herself, sorry, her and her daughters, whether you're still doing any DJing, and is there anywhere or any way we can hear any of what you've done DJ-wise, and she's excited for that, and says to stay safe and hopes to hear from you, you know, online.
Okay. Hi, Donna. I always think of the 10cc song when I hear that name. Do you know the 10cc song?
I do. I like 10cc.
Well, I'm not going to try and sing it, but it's called Donna. I still DJ from time to time if I get asked to do something that's interesting or, you know, involves playing in a cool place, definitely. Yeah, thinking about doing something online, actually, because there's been a lot of people out there DJing online. So probably we'll do something like that at some point, I hope.
For the fans? Well, DJ?
Yeah, we're still formulating something, but I think there is something coming up, which will be a special DJ set for the fans.
Oh, please tell me now, Raj.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm helping you work on it. So, yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Maybe it'll be around your birthday, which is in 10 days from today.
That sounds cool.
I'm very excited for your birthday just because I like during this time of confinement to have something to look forward to. So we have a family calendar, and Uncle Raj is on the calendar for the 26th. Very exciting. I'm sure we'll be making you a video. But I just want to thank you so much for your time and so much for
doing this
for the fan community members. And on behalf of all of them, I wanted to wish you a very happy, unforgettable birthday.
Thank you. It's been a really interesting set of questions, I have to say. It's been really stimulating, and it's made me really think. They've been really, really great questions. And,
yeah, the fan community gang came through for us.
They really delivered. Really delivered.
Yeah.
Really
thank
did.
You to everybody who sent them in. I know, I think there's a lot of pressure when we ask for questions on Twitter, and people just like want to get in there, and they're limited by the amount of characters they can use to explain their questions. So in any case, this was cool. We'll do it again soon. Hopefully the next time we'll do it again, we will be not in lockdown. That's
exactly.
What I'm hoping.
Let's just hope.
Yes.
It's going to be the dream. A non-lockdown.
A non-lockdown cafe. That's right. Well, thank you.
Can I just thank everybody in advance for any messages, cards, presents, whatever, for my birthday. And,
of course.
It's going to be fun. Maybe I can do a house party. I can do a house party birthday.
Oh, maybe like a little playlist or something. Roger's house party playlist.
Exactly. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Well, thank you again, my friend. And
all right, well, thank you, and thanks for all the questions.
And we will certainly
everyone,
be hearing from you soon.
Yeah, and everybody keep safe.
Thanks, bud.